guys, welcome back to my channel for another episode of Porn Star Confessions. Today I have got Jake Waters, and Jake Waters is on cloud nine right now, so welcome, Jake.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so let's start with why you are on cloud nine.
Because I just got married.
And go ahead.
I got married to the love of my life, and it's different. It really is. So you hear married couples or couples who are like in love, and it's like, oh, when I met this person, my life changed. And then when we got married, I completely see this person in a different way. And I was like, yeah, whatever. It's the same person you've been with for the last X amount of months or years. There's nothing's going to change. But now that I can call him my husband and not just my boyfriend or my fiance, we're one. I look at him with almost like a new set of eyes, and I'm falling in love over and over again. And it's so weird to say, because I just thought people who were like that were like, bullshit. None of this shit really happens.
No, that's awesome. So, like, why do you think that is, though? Like, I'm imagining, you know, part of it is because you feel like other people take you guys more seriously. You know, this is my husband versus this is my boyfriend. I'm sure there's more to it than that.
For me, I think it's because it's something that I've wanted for a while and I never thought I was going to get. So we've talked about it. We did the whole engagement. We did the planning. And there's always that fear that someone could say, you know what? No, this is not what I want. I thought I did, but now that it's getting real, I don't know if I want to be locked down to this person for the rest of my life. And we've had this conversation before, and I was like, look, if we're going to do this, I'm not getting divorced because that costs more money than what it costs to get married. But it was just like, it's just... it's hard to explain. It's just, I'm just consistently happy. Like, even the sex is better. I don't know how, but it's the same person. But it's, we're one. We are a united front. And to be married, being an adult star, and being in love and having so much support from not just our community, but from our family, from our friends, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful feeling.
So there's one aspect for the people watching who don't know. Your husband's Dylan Diaz, who's also a very well-known porn star. Now, me personally, I could argue how dating another performer could be a really good thing, but I could also argue that it could be a really bad thing. So how has that played out for you?
For us, it's actually played out very well. Before we started dating, before we said, okay, we're going to be an official couple, we sat down and had an adult conversation. Like, look, we know what we do for a living. Let's talk it out. Let's talk about scene partners. Let's talk about doing collaborations. Let's talk about how we feel about, you know, doing these things and being in the industry, which was an easy conversation because obviously, one, we're both in the industry, but it was I'm going to work. This is my work suit. When I come home, I'm going to take that suit off and I'm all yours. When we're home, we spend that time together. When it's work, it's strictly work. And we said, so if one day you're on set with someone or you're doing a collab and you catch feelings for that person, be open and honest with me, or vice versa. And if there's feelings, let's explore that. Let's talk about it, because they could be momentarily feelings. Is that, I don't know if I said that right. Those feelings could be very short, or it could be long lasting. And those feelings, are they sexual or are they more of like a friendship relationship type thing? So we had to have those conversations before we really started to move forward. And for me, I won't speak for him, but for me, it was easy. It was easy for me because I was in a relationship for 10 years before we met, or Dylan and I met. And in that relationship, I learned a lot. I learned the difference between sex and love. And that, which when going into this, work is just sex. It is literally just sex, whether if it's in with a studio or doing a collab with him, it's love. There's more to it. There's more passion behind it. There's more foreplay. There's more getting to really know him more and what he likes and what I like. On set, it's just a check.
And actually, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I've done like 50, 60 of these now, and I don't think I've ever asked anyone this, but have you ever developed feelings to one degree or another to one of your co-stars, whether it was a studio shoot or a collaboration or whatever?
I have not caught sexual feelings for anyone, but I've definitely caught feelings like, oh, I would definitely film again with this particular person because the vibe was right. The chemistry was right. They felt good and all that. And so, but sexually, no, not like, oh, I'm going to leave him for somebody else. I've never felt that.
No, you strike me as a professional, though, from everything I've seen from you. You don't strike me as a, like, I don't know. I just feel like in this industry, there's the types who are like, this is work, this is job, and, you know, and then there's the, this is playtime, it's a vacation, I'm going to have, I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Ooh, I have run into some of those, and it makes filming a little more difficult because it's there, and this is not a hit at any of the millennials who are in their 20s or early 30s. But I do, we get in a set and there's a lot of people who are playing on the phones or not listening to director, or who are constantly running their mouths. I'm like, dude, shut up. Listen to what the director is saying. I don't give a flying fuck what you did on your last shoot or who it was with. I'm just trying to get in here, bust a nut, get a check, and go home.
Wait. How old are you?
I'm 42.
God.
Your face. Fuck.
Dude, motherfucker, I look like 10, 15 years older than you, and I'm younger than you. This is depressing as shit.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's good for you, dude. You got phenomenal genetics, shit.
Thank you.
So how did you and Dylan meet? How did that whole happen?
We met on set. He was my second scene partner ever. Oh. And it was supposed to have been somebody else, but Shishi LaRue was directing. And on the way there, she told me, oh, by the way, I made a scene change, your scene partner is going to be Dylan Diaz. And I'm like, okay, who's that? She's like, it was the guy who walked on set yesterday, who shot the second scene that you were in the house that we were in yesterday. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, didn't think much of it. I'm just like, fuck it, I don't care. Just, I shot one scene yesterday, my very first porn yesterday. I'll shoot another one today. And I'm like, okay. But there was something different about Dylan. We started talking. He asked me, he goes, so how many scenes have you done? I go, one. And he goes, no, not today. How many scenes have you done? I said, one. He goes, that's it? I go, yeah, that was yesterday. He's like, oh, shit. He goes, you're a rookie. I was like, yeah. But we sat, we talked, we had conversation. There was, at the time, I didn't catch a vibe or a feeling, but I just knew something was different about him. I was like, okay, he's cool. My scene partner from the day before was cool also. We sat, we had a conversation, but it wasn't the same. We exchanged personal, our government names, phone numbers, Facebook, you know, all the stuff you're supposed to do to keep in contact with someone. And then we went our separate ways. And every once in a while, we would reach out to each other to say, hey, how are you doing? What's going on? And then COVID hit. And we pretty much didn't talk during COVID. I think there were a couple of messages out on Twitter. I think he put out something like, oh, if the universe finds it fitting, I would love to work with Jake Waters again. And I was like, oh, I like that. I'll like that and retweet it. And then it was at the time he did it, I was actually seeing somebody. And I did an interview with another person, and I was single then when I did the interview, and I sent it to Dylan when it came out. He called me immediately and was like, "Hey, the next time you come to the West Coast, you'll let me take you out for dinner." And I'm like, playing hard to get. I'm like, I don't know. I don't think it's a good idea. And all this other stuff. And he's like, go and change your flight, come to Vegas and all that. I go, well, I'm actually heading to LA in a few weeks for a shoot. He's like, oh, I'm heading to LA also. So come to Vegas a couple of days early, then we'll drive out. Then I'll drive you back to Vegas and you can go home. I'm like, I'm online checking how much it's going to cost to change my flight. Because I'm just playing. I'm like, no, I don't need to do it. He's like, oh, I'll pay for it. And I'm like, first off, I can pay for my own shit. Thank you very much. Just being proud. It was just the way I was brought up. You don't take somebody else's money. And then, but I'm looking and looking, and finally I gave in. I switched my ticket. I flew out to Vegas, and we've been pretty much inseparable ever since.
Wow.
And now married. So we're stuck together for the rest of our lives.
That's crazy. So, how did you originally get into the industry? Was this always like a, ooh, one day I want to be a porn star, or did you just like slip, trip, and fell into it?
A little bit of both. I've always thought I had a decent looking body, and I was like, you know what? I like the fuck. I like watching porn, so I think I'd be really good at this. Plus, at the time, I didn't see a lot of people who looked like me in porn. So I'm like, all right, whatever. It was always one of those fantasies, but I lived in Kansas City, so I never thought it would actually happen. Very Midwest, very in the box, very cultured, Bible Belt. And I was talking with Michael Roman on Scruff, just having a conversation. And I was like, wait a second. I didn't realize who he was until, months into these conversations. And I'm like, those tattoos look familiar. I said, and then I had to look it up, and I was like, Pornhub. D-d-d-d-d. Like, wait, are you in a porn star? He's like, yeah. I was like, oh my God, I've always thought about doing that. He's like, you would be great. Here's Shishi's number. I'm like, okay. I wrote it down and I kept it for probably about a year. And then one day I was sitting at home in my office and I was like, you know what? Let me see if this is true. So I text the number. I was like, hey, is this Shishi LaRue? And she actually replied back. It's like, yes, who was this? And we had a whole conversation. And the next thing I know, I was on a flight to LA. So it was one of those opportunities that if I didn't open my mouth and say something, I probably would not be here right now having this conversation with you. In the life that I have now.
I like that. No, it's
So it was, I feel like
Alexa, stop.
What the hell?
I know that's happened to you.
My phone would start talking to me like, I don't understand, because bitch, I wasn't talking to you. I almost said the name and then like didn't want her to pick up. But I just feel like since that conversation I had with Michael, with Shishi, running into Dylan, I almost said his government name, and all the opportunities that I've had in front of me have been strategically placed by the universe to put me where I am. And it's been a hell of a ride since I've joined the adult industry.
So, how has it impacted your life? Because my personal philosophy is porn typically either enriches your life or it completely fucking destroys it. Obviously, it has not destroyed your life yet. So, what are your thoughts, knowing what you know now?
I wish I would have saved a little bit of my money when I stopped working my 9 to 5, because it hasn't destroyed my life, but it has destroyed my bank account because I'm not getting paid on a regular like I used to. But it has opened my eyes to so many different things that I was not aware of. Not being in the industry and only knowing the industry from a Hollywood standpoint on what they put in movies, I'm thinking drugs and alcohol and diseases. This was rampant and everyone's fucking everyone and nobody cares and all that, which was the complete opposite. It's like, I get here and the very first thing she tells me, she's like, oh, we need to get you tested. I'm like, tested for what? And she's like, we need to run the, cause I, you know, I don't, I'm not thinking that way. Cause I'm like, I go to my doctor and my doctor tests me. She's like, oh no, what? And she explained what everything was. Like, okay, we need to get you tested for HIV and all the, and I was like, oh, I just got to my doctor's like, she's like, I understand, but we have to do it a certain way through this company. I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I felt so much more comfortable after having that conversation and then getting to set. And there aren't drugs on set. There's not alcohol on set. You don't have 18,000 people running around doing all these different things. It's usually a couple cameramen, a light person, the director, and that's about, and if there's any extras and stuff like that. So that completely blew that Boogie Nights mentality that I had in my head completely out of the water.
I love the Boogie Nights reference.
Well, I mean, that's what everyone thinks about when you think about porn. It's Boogie Nights. It's drugs, alcohol, and this free-flowing sex. What porn has also done for me, it's opened my mind about sexuality and my own sexuality. Living in Kansas, the middle of the country, it's straight, gay, and possibly bi. All the other stuff was, that's not a thing. You don't hear about that. People don't talk about that. And then growing up and listening to some very uneducated people saying that, oh, you can't be bi. You're either gay or you're straight. If you're bi, you're just greedy. And I'm just, and you know, hearing that over and over and again, I'm like, that can't be true. But I didn't know anybody who was. If they were, they weren't, obviously not wearing a sign advertising it. But I was always very fascinated with both sex, both sexes. So now being in the industry and having the opportunity to film with basically everyone, I've learned so much and asked questions. I have a couple of friends who are HIV positive, but they're undetectable. And I'm like, okay, I don't want to sound ignorant. I don't want to sound dumb, but what does that mean? Because I don't know. And I don't want to be offensive. And I don't want to ask someone who isn't and then give me some wrong answer. I'd rather get it straight from the horse's mouth. And it's like, okay, please explain to me what that means. When people are telling me, when I'm talking to a couple of my trans friends and they're telling, I'm on testosterone. I'm like, okay, well, what does that do to your body? Because I don't know, because I'm not on it. So it helps me ask the right questions to the right people, which opens my mind, which has also opened me very, my sexuality is opened up more also. I'm gay by nature, and by nature, I'm just, I'm like naughty by nature, but I'm gay. I love a man. I love a big muscular man who can just manhandle me and just do all the things in me. But I also enjoy sleeping with women. I also enjoy sleeping with trans men and women. Or pansexual. It's just opened my horizon in my mind. And it's like, okay, it's there again, there's sex and then there's love. And I've had this conversation with Dylan a few times. I think my dog's trying to get in.
Dogs are more than welcome.
Yes. And was like, you know, I don't consider myself. Uh-oh. Here she comes. Hey, baby. Where's daddy? Go get him. And she's leaving. But she won't close the door. She's so rude. But we were at the gym one day and this lady walked by and I ran over to Dylan. I was like, that little lady right there, not trying, just that little lady right there. I said, I want to take her home and just fuck the shit out of her. He's like, I will watch and record that. He goes, that's so hot. And there's something about someone who is smaller than me that like really turns me on. It's like, I can be, I don't want to say primal, but
I get it.
I can kind of be primal.
I get it. No, that's one thing you said though that I really want to touch on is like the bisexual thing because, like, I mean, you and I are roughly the same age. I'm 40, but like for the longest time, it's like bisexual, and even still, I don't feel like it's taken seriously as a real sexuality. Like it's like, oh, you're just gay, but you're just not ready to be gay yet, or you know what I mean? It feels like it's a stepping stone from one to the other. And even me, like, I shoot with everyone, and I'll get fucking nasty messages all the time. Like, actually, last night I got one. What's this hetero shit? Or like, I don't know about you, but like, I gotta say, I've got a real problem with you having sex with women. Like, the fuck do you care? Just don't watch that video.
Exactly. When we first started dating, and I didn't make it known publicly that we were dating. It was always, you could see him, but you never saw his face. It was just a figure in the background until just so we can build a relationship first before we let public know. But as soon as we did, some dumbass replies to my message. It's like, oh, you know he's going to leave you for a woman. He's bisexual. I laughed so hard at that comment, and I read it to him, and he looks at me, and he laughed too. And I go, you know what? If you leave me for a woman, then obviously that was a bad bitch, and I need to go take notes from her. Because if she's able to do what I can't do, good for you. Good for you. Good for you. But it was just like, it's comments like that. It's like what we do in our personal lives is completely different than what we actually do on camera. On camera, it's a scene. Hey, are you available to do a bi scene? Am I getting paid? Yes, I will be there. It's a job. It's like you don't go up to Tom Cruise. I love using this example. You don't go up to Tom Cruise. I'm like, hey, Tom, you're not really a pilot, so I'm not gonna watch your movie. He's a fucking actor. This is a job. I act. I mean, I'm an Oscar winning, I'm not an Oscar winning actor, but fuck it. I got awards. I've been nominated.
Actually, that's a really good analogy. What I remember, I was trying to explain my job to a friend at the gym the other day, and I was trying to explain my sexuality to him, because he was asking about my content. And I was like, dude, I would stick my dick in the exhaust pipe of my Mustang if I thought people would buy this shit.
Now that you said that, people are going to want to see it. And then somebody's going to be out there. See, this is what I'm talking about. Guys is putting their dicks in everything. This is why it needs to be Adam and Eve. I'm like, oh my God. So,
Oh
somebody's going to
shit.
say that. But that would actually be kind of hot to watch. What kind of Mustang do you have?
It's a completely custom build. She's got 1,047 horsepower at the wheel.
Jesus Christ.
So yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It's an exercise in self-control.
I
Like
would say
I guess
so.
the best analogy I can paint for you is imagine the hottest male, female, whatever, like the person you've dreamed about your entire life. And I'm like, here, Jake, you get to have sex with them, but you can only put the tip in. You'd be like, that's what it feels like.
I'd be like, oops, I slipped and fell.
You just have this fundamental understanding that if the gas pedal touches the floor, you're probably going to jail.
It might be worth it.
So you're a car
No,
guy,
wait.
then.
Are we going to jail or are we going to prison? Because I wouldn't make it
No,
in prison.
jail.
You see me? Oh, yeah, I can do 5 days. That's fine.
What are you talking about, dude?
No,
You're built like a brick shit house.
I'm 5'5".
Oh, I didn't know how tall you were.
Yeah, I would get tossed around in prison, in jail. Some people would use me like a rag doll.
Okay, for those of you watching, Jake has a phenomenal fucking body despite the baggy ass t-shirt he's got on. Like,
Is actually, it's not, is it baggy?
I mean, it's
Should I?
fitted.
Yes.
Okay, there we go.
I was trying to be
Modest.
appropriate, and then
Okay.
I got on and I said, your shirt on. I'm like, oh shit, should I take my shirt off?
So, do you do like, when weightlifting, or how do you maintain your physique?
Yes, I go to the I work out with a trainer 3 days a week, and then I play softball on Sundays, and then every once in a while I'll go to the gym by myself.
Okay.
But yeah, I am constantly working out. In this industry, my body is my resume. So if I'm going to be an adult star, I need to look the part. Not saying that every adult star has to look like this. There are different body types, but for my body type, I need to stay this way. I can't be this short and have a pot belly. People are like, that's not going to sell.
Just side note, you do have very, like, I've never actually said this, but you do have very attractive nipples. I don't know what it is. I don't think I've ever actually noticed someone else's nipples. When I saw your nipples, I was like, I don't know what the fuck it is, but yeah, just totally random sidebar there, but.
Someone's going to be like, take off your shirt. I want to see them. I get a lot of comments. I get a lot of positive comments about my nipples. People ask, how did you get them like that? Would you do, what devices do you use? They're natural. When I hit puberty, they just started growing. Like, I have like little knots underneath my nipples. I think they're like lip notes or whatnot. And my nipples just started growing. And I mean, I play with them. They're very sensitive. When I was younger, I thought I found them so unattractive. I would put like really tight t-shirts on to kind of push them down and put another shirt over, or wear a baggier shirt so people wouldn't comment on them because I didn't like them.
Oh, shit.
And then it took me years to grow into them and playing with them. And when other people started like, oh, these are sexy. And I found out like having sex and people touching them, I was like, oh, this is a very nice sensation. I like this. And it was like my nipples, or I, as I call them, my little Hershey kisses. they're actually, they're my turn on. If you do them, if you play with them right, completely turns me on. You basically do almost anything you want to me at that point. Once the on switch is it's on, we're good to go. Now, don't fuck it up. Don't start playing with them and then fuck it up, because then I'm done. It's like, you know, I'm not into this anymore.
All right, note to self. So when did you stop being self-conscious about them, though?
Probably about 5 or 6 years ago when I was with my ex. Just, he enjoyed them. And the way that we had a conversation was playing with them and enjoying them. And then other people started commenting on them in a positive way. And I was like, oh, these are like my weapons, so to say. Like, this is my, I have something that other people don't have. And I like that. It was interesting, because I thought most people did. Excuse me, I never really stared at a man's chest or nipples and stuff like that. And other than at the time when I was younger, just very jealous how their nipples were normal and mine were not. But there it was, once I got comfortable with my body, I start understanding who I was, and that wasn't, so that was about, like I said, 5 or 6 years ago. And then probably about two, maybe 3 years ago, I actually started feeling comfortable with who I am. And that completely changed the way I looked at the world and this industry, my partner, and everything else.
So I'm curious, like, because, like, in my monologues on this YouTube video, I talk about that all the time, like finding your inner confidence, just not giving a shit what other people think. So I would really like to hear your perspective. Like, what was your journey internally? Like, how did you finally just say, you know what, I really don't give a shit, I'm just going to be me? Like, what did that look like for you?
It took a while, because I had to get comfortable being naked in front of multiple people. It's still a little uncomfortable when I'm on set with people and I'm standing there. Okay, how do I explain this?
This is fascinating.
Yeah, because I know what I do for a living. I have to be naked for a living. I get fucked on camera for a living. But when I'm looking at my counterpart, my co-star, especially if they're a top, and I've looked them up, I've kind of got an idea of what I'm going to be working with. So I'm like, all right, let me relax, let me do it. And then I'm looking at that person's followers. This person has like 100,000 followers on Twitter or X amount on Instagram. And I look at my followers and I'm like, okay, I'm not even close to this particular person. So some insecurity starts to sink in. Because it's like, okay, now I'm not pretty enough. I'm not handsome enough. I don't have the body this person has. I don't have the dick like this person. My ass isn't like this person. I start comparing myself to everybody. And then when I get on set and that person is absolutely the complete opposite of what I thought this person was in my head. And I was like, oh, okay. I have to stop comparing myself to everyone else. And one day I had a scene with Michael Boston. Beautiful man. I've worked with him before. And I was nervous because I was topping him. It was just him and I. The last time we worked together was an orgy. So I was like, I'm not all that worried. But I was like, fuck, I have to top Michael Boston tomorrow. And I'm in my shower, like mentally psyching myself out. And I just told myself, I was like, no, stop. I don't have the honor of working with Michael Boston. Michael Boston has the honor of working with me. And I had to start putting things in that perspective because if I keep thinking less of myself, I'm not going to put myself out there. If I don't put myself out there, I'm not going to get hired. If I don't get hired, I don't pay my bills. So I have to start looking at it that way. I have to start thinking that I have what it takes to be a porn star. I consider myself an adult entertainer. I don't consider myself a porn star yet. I have the potential to be a porn star. Why I say that is that I don't think I've not been in the industry long enough to consider myself a star. To me, a star is somebody who has been in this industry for at least 5 years. Someone who has stand the test of time, who is very eloquent and how they address their fans, what they do for and what they do for a living,
Uh-oh.
The tenacity that they have, their resilience, because in this industry, change is constant. It's like tomorrow, let's say you and I were working together tomorrow and something happened where you couldn't make it and they filled in somebody else. So I'm prepared to work with you, but then somebody else shows up. So you have to be mentally prepared for that. So that's my idea of a star. But I'm not there yet. I haven't been in the industry long enough. I don't have the reputation some people do. And it humbles me sometimes when I go to set and I PA for a couple of studios. And one of the guys a couple of weeks ago didn't know who I was, which is not a big it. He's like, oh, so I hear you're a performer too. What's your screen name? And I was like, okay. I felt somewhat pissed off a little bit. But then I was also like, okay, this just solidifies my definition of a star. I've not been in the industry long enough. I'm not, and I don't want to say a household name, but I'm not a big enough name for people to be like, oh, Jake Waters. I definitely know who that is, and I definitely want to work with that person. But take a like Rocco Steele, my fantasy. If I ever met this man, I'm probably going to die. But you say Rocco Steele, everyone knows who, they know
Yeah.
that name. If you say Jenna Jameson, everyone knows who she is. That's what I mean by a household name. Regardless if you watch porn on the lip for a living or not, you know those names. So like for me, going back to the original question, it's just I had to tell myself that I'm worth it. That I am worthy enough to be on set with these other people and to do my job. And God damn it, I look good. For my and people all I always get cast as the younger. I'm like, how am I the younger guy? And the guy that I'm filming with is 20 years younger than me.
Oh, God. I don't know. I think it's a balancing act, though, you know, because I mean, I think you've definitely got the humility down. That I
Thank you.
applaud you tremendously for that, because I've been on some studio shoots where my co-star definitely could have learned some humility from you. Like, they just think they're God's gift to mankind. I'm just like, okay, dude, get over yourself. But you also got to balance it with like this, like absolutely unwavering belief in yourself. Like, take Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, when he came to this country, every single thing he's accomplished, he had 100 people telling him, "You can't do it. You're not good enough. Nobody can understand you." Blah 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 blah. But like, he had a vision, and it was just like, I don't care how many people tell me I'm crazy. You know, I'm just gonna believe in myself. So just.
Absolutely. Because if you don't believe in yourself, who's going to believe in you?
Exactly. Exactly. So,
Yeah, that's. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
one thing, and I'm not good about being politically correct, and I this is kind of like an ongoing question that I ask everyone. What are your feelings on the term BBC? Because there's half the people ask you to, they're like, no, I hate it, blah blah blah, we're being, you know, that. But then the other half's like, no, I actually like it. It allows me to more effectively market myself. You know, so it's like I can see both sides, but obviously, you know, what are your thoughts? There's no right or wrong answer.
It's a double-edged sword. I can see from a marketing standpoint where people want to be tight, have their stuff titled that way because you know people want to go see big black cocks. They want to see that, and that's what they're very fascinated, or that's what they like. I personally don't like it because I don't want to be put in that box. I don't like, so far I've been lucky that the studios that I've worked with don't use that title or any type of racial slurs in the title. Once it hits the third party, there's really no control over what they put on the titles. Somebody illegally or downloads it and loads it up on Pornhub or XTube or wherever. I can't control that. But for the studio purposes, I don't like it. I don't like using race, period. I mean, you can obviously tell if someone is on screen if it's interracial. You can obviously tell that this particular model has a big black dick. You can see it. There's no need to call it out. Even if like the what is it? Big white cocks, big BWCs. You can see it. You can see that. So sometimes just labeling it keeps, in my personal opinion, it keeps separation and racism alive. There's no need for it. It's you're pointing out the obvious.
Yeah, no, I. One of my favorite quotes ever is, I believe Garth Brooks said it, and he's like, when there's only one race and that's the human race, we will all be free.
Yes. That's funny. My trainer and I were talking about racism today. I'm like, this stupid stuff. And I was like, I was raised in a military household, and we lived in the last place my before we moved to like the Kansas City area. We were stationed in Hawaii, and I got an opportunity at a young age to see all different kind walks of life, whether it was white, black, Hispanic, Asian, and even mixed families. But to me as a kid, it didn't dawn on me until I got older, but it was just the way that I was raised. It was like my family has always raised me that love is love. Point blank, period. It doesn't matter. And if that's who you fall in love with, that's who you fall in love with. Even growing up, my family was there for me. They knew I was gay. It was just me coming out to them, but they were almost like giving me little breadcrumbs to follow to say, like, hey, this is okay. Because every Thursday night, we watched Will and Grace. We watched Will and Grace every night. Or every Thursday night it came on. And my dad, being a very, very grew up in the military, like his dad was in the Air Force, so he traveled the world. My dad was a Marine, and he traveled the world. And just having that support from my dad, my mom, I knew was going to be in my corner no matter what. But to get it from my dad felt so much more. And to be a person who grew up in the 50s, who watched the way that this world has changed, and to say, when I came out to him, to tell me that I'm still his son, he still loves me anyways, meant the world to me. And it was just, I wish more people had a family like mine who had that opportunity to do that. But I also wish that people grew up with more of an open mind. Just because you live in the Midwest doesn't mean that's how life is. Go out, adventure, go to New York, go to California, go to not Florida, I can't stand them right now. Go somewhere where you can see different cultures and experience different things before you make this conclusion that all people of this certain race are this way. I hate when people make that generalization that this, and this has to be this way.
No, I feel like that's, I feel like everyone's guilty of that to a certain point, for example, you'll get a woman who dates a Hispanic guy and she has a bad experience. And then after that, all Hispanic men are evil, or you know what I mean? Just, it doesn't matter what it is. If you have a bad experience with one person of this little group, it's like they're all that way.
Yeah, and it's sad to say, and I agree with you. I think almost everyone has that mindset. It's like, oh, this person did me wrong, so everyone is like that. And it's, I think it's human nature to say, in a small sense, and some of it's just being ignorant and closed-minded,
Yeah,
because.
that's true.
And I think a lot of people forget that, especially if you work a 9-to-5 in a big office, you work with so many different people, and you know that, let's say it is a Hispanic person, that your girlfriend at work who's Hispanic is not like that, but you had a bad experience with this person, and now you want to classify everyone. It's like you're so quick to make that judgment call, and it's like, fuck, I made a mistake. And but people don't own it.
I think you hit the nail on the head there, because I think a lot of the problem comes from people are very, very reluctant to admit when they made a mistake. It's extremely rare that someone will be like, oh, actually, my bad. Nope, they'll die with the fucking lie. They're like, I just, when I see that, I'm like, oh God, we're fucked.
Yes.
But no, I don't know. I just, like, for me, I personally do not associate, like, as far as my inner circle goes, I don't know a single person who gives two shits about race. Like, they care about who you are as a person. I don't give a fuck. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't know. I just don't get why that would matter. Like, maybe I live in a fucking soap, in a fishbowl or something.
No, but and it doesn't. It truly doesn't matter what the person's race is. It's just I just happen to have more melanin in my skin than you do. That doesn't make either one of us good or evil. You've not done anything wrong to me. Or let's say that you cursed me out. That doesn't mean I hate all bald white guys now. They're all evil. It is, but it's just like, but that's how some people are. It is like, and I growing up, and it's funny that we're talking about this, but growing up in the Midwest, that was my mindset was that way, but the opposite. It was if I did something, I had to think, it was, how do I want to phrase this? So if I did something, I would hate for someone to think that all gay black guys do that. So the way I got dressed for work, like if I go into the office, if I act a certain way at the grocery store, the way I drive my car, it was always like I had to be on, I had to be on my P's and Q's. I had to mind my P's and Q's when I was out in public because heaven forbid, if I do something wrong, I'm not representing me. I'm representing my entire race. And that's what I hate. And it's like, I can't have a bad day. I can't just be mad at something without being the angry black guy.
No, actually, I relate to what you're saying more than, like, it's completely different. Like, the content's different, but the process is the same because, like, I'm very well aware of the way that I look. So I'm very hyper aware of the way that, like, if I'm talking to a woman, my voice, I will consciously raise it up several octaves. Or, you know what I mean? Like, I'm very... I change the way that I talk. You know, I hold doors. You know what I mean? Because God forbid if I were to, like... Yeah, it's just like... And then with my appearance, like, oh, there's some fucking angry... fucking neo-Nazi white supremacy. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, I completely get, I completely understand where you're coming from. Is the look that you have is very giving. You and I would not be friends. Like, if I saw you, and that's a quick judgment. Like, if I saw you on the street, I would probably be terrified for my life. Oh, yeah.
And I wouldn't blame just you.
Yeah, just because of the stereotype that goes with the way that you look. I don't want to say in my culture, but slang-wise, we call that code switching. We have to act a certain way. C-O-D-E, switching. We have to act a certain way. So when I'm at home, Dylan and I will cut up all day long. And we understand each other. But when I'm out in public, I have to act a different way. God, I don't want to make this sound.
Don't worry about being politically correct. This, I got it.
Yeah, but it's like when we're out in public, we have to act white. We have to act a certain way. Otherwise, people will label us. People could call the cops on us. You call the cops on two men of color, one of us isn't coming home alive. So we have to act a certain way. When we're in the office, we talk office talk. Yeah. Our vocabulary completely changes. Our pronouns, not pronouns, but our punctuation will change in sentences. We'll talk more proper than slang. And it's a way to survive. It's what we call code switching. And depending on where we are, that code can consistently change.
Wow. I've never heard that expression before, ever.
A lot of people don't know. So we were watching something and we looked at each other and we're like, code switch. But it's a survival mechanism. It's like when I talked to some of my friends who lived in Kansas City, it's like my parents had the conversation with me. We, you know, you sit down, you have the conversation with your kids. And some of my friends who had kids at work were like, oh, I'm not ready to talk about the birds and the bees with my kids. I was like, oh, that's not the conversation I was talking about. Like, what conversation are you talking about? I said, when I get pulled over, that's the conversation I have that my parents had with me. Like, when I get pulled over, I, yes, sir, no, ma'am, hands on the wheel. You don't move until they say something.
Trust me, dude, because... I'm just as likely to get shot with the way I look.
Oh, no, you're right. But that's a conversation my parents had with me at a very young age. I had that conversation with my parents before I talked about sex. So, and I know it's just kind of off topic, but people, like, what's going on in the world right now? Like, racism is huge. And it's huge in these last 7 years, we started seeing more and more people showing their true colors and started speaking their mind. And then try to hide behind the freedom of speech. Yes, you have the freedom of speech, but when you start attacking someone, that's not really freedom of speech. You're just throwing shit out there and hoping that it sticks. And social media was bad about it. We came across the whole, when George Floyd passed away, and people were so against it, but then there were people like, well, he should have just been minding his business and should have obeyed the law and all that. There's so many conversations that possibly could have been had that could have changed that situation, but it didn't.
Well,
but it's just an as a person of color in this world, it's I'm guilty and then have to prove that I'm innocent, yeah. Which is a sad thing, but when our court of law says the opposite, and so many people who are so quick to make these judgment calls and say, well, you should have done this and you should have done that, but you weren't there. You weren't there. When I walk out of my house every day, I have to make sure, like I said earlier, that I'm on my P's and Q's, because anybody could call the police and say, well, this person did X, Y, and Z. And by being black, I'm automatically guilty when those police show up. And if I happen to be aggravated at the time, now I'm resisting arrest. I was fighting. If I ask why am I being detained, that's the wrong question to ask when I have every right to ask that question. When I lived in Kansas City, right when COVID was going on, I was getting ready to walk into a Target. I had just left the gym. I had a black Adidas outfit on, black hoodie, black zipper with a hood on it, my black pants, my black shoes, black socks, and a black mask. And I was literally about to walk into the store, and I was like, nope. I went right back to my car. I took the hoodie off because I had a bright shirt underneath it. Just way I didn't look like I was going to walk into the store and rob it. And I was like, shit, this is something that I have to think about every time I go into anywhere. And it's sad to say, and I'm sure you have experienced some of the same things with the tattoos and the bald head and people like, oh, who's this neo-Nazi walking into my shop? Is he going to start shit?
Well, there's one, like, I can relate to a lot of what you're saying, but there is one very, very important distinction. And that is, you didn't choose to be born black. Like, no. I made a conscious choice to cover myself in tattoos and shave my head and everything else. So, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. while I can relate to a lot of the stuff, you know, that you're saying, and I'm like, actually, I know exactly what that feels like. There is that very mm-hmm. important distinction that this was a choice, yours yeah. was not.
Well, it's like, yeah, no one is like, oh, I wish I was born. Well, let me rephrase that. No one was born saying like, oh my God, I get to choose what race I'm going to be before I get to pop out. It's you are who you are. It's the character of the person that makes that person. Not you can't, and we talked about this earlier, but you can't, what's the word I'm looking for? Summarize a whole race of people by the actions of the few. Like, what's the phrase? One bad apple ruins the bunch. That's not true when it comes to people. So it's like, let go of all of these pre-notions that you may have about anybody and just learn who that person is. Understand who that person is, like that person. You may not like everything about that person, or if that one individual person pisses you off, you can't hate an entire race for them. We kind of went off topic.
Yeah. No. I mean, at the end of the day, I just... like, I hate anything where the actions of a few people fuck it up for everybody else. I can't stand that, regardless of what it is. You know, there's fucking... Mm-hmm. How many people don't trust their fucking doctor because they had a really shitty doctor before, or a bad therapist, or you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. just yeah. fuck, man. Just because this person sucked doesn't mean these people do. You know, like, mm-hmm. fuck, just treat everyone as a fucking individual. You know, and even that goes back yeah. to, you know, like what we were talking about with sexuality. Like, yeah, you know, this person may prefer men most of the time, but then there could be that one woman that comes along where it's just like, blam, I want to marry you, Jamie. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it happens. And it's I think, just be open with it. Just because, okay, let me rephrase. Let me say, you can be open with it, but you don't have to be a whore about it, because I think there's a difference. And I think that's where a lot of people have a hard time understanding. It's like, oh, you just want to just fuck everything with two legs. And it's like, no, I don't. I really don't. But I have my preferences. Yeah. You know, I married a man. I married a whole ass man 2 weeks, a week and a half ago, and I love them to death. But if I go in there and have a conversation with him, he's probably outside the door since the door is open. He can hear me. But but if I say, you know what, babe, I want to have a threesome, but I want to have a woman over, he'd be like, okay, let's find her. You know, it doesn't mean I'm going to go marry this woman. Doesn't mean I want to have kids with this woman. Doesn't mean I'm going to leave him for her. It is what it is. I'm being open about my sexuality. He's okay with that. Yeah.
No, I think, though, and this was the impression that I got from Dylan as well when I interviewed him, is it really seems like, I don't want to say this, like, I almost feel like it's so cliche saying this, like, communication, but it seems like you two really, truly, it's not just a fucking buzzword to you. Like, you guys truly understand, and yes, you know what I mean? Like, I'll give you an example. Like, take a typical parent, you know, with their kid. It's like, oh, Billy, you know, I want you to tell me everything, and then one day you come home and tell me, oh, hey, Dad, I tried pot. And I'm like, what the fuck did you just... Congratulations, motherfucker. That kid ain't ever telling you shit ever again. You know what I mean?
Nothing. It is, for me, it is sometimes a little difficult to be open and honest, because I have the conversation in my head first, and I always go worst case scenario. I always play worst case scenario in my head. But the more and more we have these conversations, regardless of how difficult the conversation may be, it's never as bad as I think it's going to be. And what were we doing? We were on the way home yesterday, and we read this license. Oh, it said Idaho. The license plate is from Idaho, and he read it out loud. He goes, Idaho, and I go, I know, but I still married you anyways. And I'm literally on my phone scheduling content, and I was like, wait, that's, and I told him that, and we both start laughing. But it's like, that's where our relationship is. We can poke fun at each other and still love each other, but then I'm literally on my phone scheduling content with somebody else. I'm like, hey, what do you think of this person? He's like, oh, he's hot. I was like, fine, because he wants to have a threesome with both of us. Oh, now there's a fourth. But a lot of couples don't have that conversation or try to do the shit on the side. And it's like, that's where it gets sloppy and gets messy and divorce. And it's like, why didn't you just, if you wanted a third, why didn't you just open your mouth and say something?
Oh, thank you for saying that. It's so true, though. One thing I wanted to talk to you about is, you're quite the cook, correct?
Oh, I love cooking. Love it.
So I'm assuming your parents taught you, or no?
I learned from my mom and my grandmother.
Oh, so you're a really good cook then.
Yes. I used to help my grandma cook when she was alive. We would go home back to Ohio, and I would watch her cook and just be in the kitchen. Growing up, I would help my mom cook during Thanksgiving or barbecues or whatever we had at the house. So I always sat and watched. I love food. I may not look like it, but I do love to eat. I love cooking, and for me, food brings people together. Like, I'm really good friends with a lot of the performers out here in Vegas, and I will call them up and like, hey, I'm cooking, and before I hang up the phone, they're already in, like, sitting down at the table waiting. And it's just, for, I love doing it. I love feeding people. One of the things I told Dylan when we first started dating, I said, this is way before we thought about even getting married and all that. I said, if we get a house, I want the house to be open. I want whoever needs a place to sleep, if they need some food, they're always welcome at our place. And that was the way that I was raised. My grandmother was like that. My mom was like that. And it was just very, oh, careful. It was just, food to me is, it's comfort. Cooking is a stress reliever for me. And I experiment with food. I may watch the Food Network and I'll look at a recipe and I'll cook it the way that the recipe called for or how they cooked it on TV. And then when I go to do it again, I'll modify it. I will change the recipe a little bit. I'll add a little extra or take something out just based off of my taste and what I know my husband likes. So if I could cook, if someone asked me this and like, well, why don't you cook for a living? I think if I cooked for a living, the joy would be gone because it's a job now. I enjoy it because I can do it when I want to. If I had to do it for a living, it's a job. And sometimes jobs can get very routine, very boring. And I don't want that. I want my food to express happiness. I want my food to bring joy to people's lives.
I think you'll like this. I don't know why I remember this, but there's a movie with Richard Gere and I forget the actress's name. It's called Autumn in New York. One of the quotes from the movie is cooking, because he cooked and she was asking why. And his response was, it's the only art that truly nourishes. I was like, damn, that's a good one.
That is, I don't know how I feel about that quote. I feel kind of on the, I like it, don't get me wrong, but I think music does the same thing.
Fuck,
Depending on the
you're in the
artist.
moment, dude. No,
Sorry.
you're right, though. You're right. You're right. When you're right, you're right.
But food does it. Well, if you think about nourishing, it actually feeds the soul. I mean, without food, you can't go on. I can listen to music, but I can't eat music.
True.
I mean, I could, but that's weird. But yeah, food. Yeah, it's very nourishing. It feeds. Not only does it feed your body, but it could feed your soul. It feeds your mind. It feeds your heart. Food can do so many different things in so many different ways. It literally opens you up. Because some people are so used to eating the same thing over and over, but if you experiment with food, you enjoy it. It can bring very, it can be very
Okay, now you're
fulfilling.
making me fucking hungry.
What you want? I got you. I mean, it may be a minute till I get it to you since you're so far
Was
away,
gonna
but I
say,
got you.
maybe someday if I can get over my hatred of traveling, I can come out there and try your cooking.
Why do you hate the
I
travel?
fucking hate it. It is like nails on a chalkboard to me.
Okay, so what, like flying or like in a car, just all travel
Like,
together?
okay, I can barely tolerate it for vacation. The reason I hate it is like I miss my car, my gym, my couch, my animals, my TV, I like my home. It's my sanctuary. I've got my computer set up. I have everything. And like I can't stand being stuck in the fucking airport and can't leave and you're crammed on that. Like, I swear to God, when I'm on a fucking plane, I'm like, you better sit like a fucking 100-pound little Asian dude next to me, because otherwise my arm's like going over into the next fucking seat. Like, it's uncomfortable. And then I'm in another city and I'm at someone else's mercy if I want to go somewhere, or I'm driving a car that's not mine. Like, even if I were to go out there and rent like a fucking Lamborghini, it's still not my car. Don't you ever feel that way? I mean, you're on a fucking
I
rental
get
and your
that.
car got
No.
wrecked or something.
No, that is the worst.
See?
Yes, I do. Okay. So what gets me, I love to travel. I love being in the airport. I'm complete opposite. I will sit in the airport and I will pe but so for me, I people watch. I people watch and then I tell myself stories like, okay, where's this person going so fast? Was there, and then I start making up stuff. Was their flight delayed? Was it canceled? Are they trying to get home for a certain business meeting or a holiday or what? So then I start creating these own stories. And doing that, I start writing, I literally write scripts. So I start writing stuff out. But I do hate when the person next to me and the plane has their arm. I usually sit in the middle.
Know exactly.
If I'm flying with Dylan, he'll have the window, which is fine, and I'll be in the middle. Whoever is on my left side, I'm dreading. I'm like, okay, don't sit here, don't sit here, don't sit here. And then the person that I want to sit there doesn't. It's the, always the, and it's not necessarily not this person is a bigger person. It's just, it's almost like they don't have courtesy. Like their legs are all spread out and like on my side, underneath my seat, or their arms like in the, like you can't have both.
No, I would literally have to be like this, and that's not comfortable.
Not comfortable whatsoever, but I do understand the not having your vehicle, not being in your place, not having like
your bed, your everything.
Yeah. So I didn't really get that way, like my bed, until I got, like, I loved traveling, going to hotels. And it was, for me, it was very exciting. For him, he's like, if he goes on a road trip for, he goes to California, where he's like, I need to come home immediately and sleep in my bed. I never really understood that until we started dating, and it's like, okay, I get it. I understand it. But I love being gone. I love being out of the house. I love staying in a hotel. For me, it's like, because we didn't do that as kids. As kids, when we traveled, we always stayed at families. We were always in a sleeping bag on the floor or on the couch or crammed into a bed. So now I have the opportunity to travel and spend money and do, I love it. I don't care too much to do it so much alone. But if I have to do it for work, I completely understand. But we go on a trip together. I want to go on a trip and be with my husband. I can call him my husband now. But with my husband and be like cuddle up in the bed and all that. But I love traveling. Traveling to me is, if I could be a flight attendant and do what I do, I would.
I can see it. Right. Literally, that, if you want to know what my own personal hell is, that. I will literally do anything but that. But I'm happy that it makes you happy. That's all that matters.
Hey, but you get to travel the world. Well, I mean, depending on what airline you're on. If you're Southwest, you're only going to this country.
Yeah, no, still no. Hell no. So, what else do you like? Like, who is Jake Waters off camera? Like, what are your hobbies? What are you passionate about besides cooking?
I love sports. I love playing sports.
Oh, speaking of which, did you win your last softball tournament?
Oh, no. We didn't even come close. Oh, okay. The one that we went to in Arizona, we had an opportunity to win, but we had too many errors in one inning, and the other team capitalized, and we ended up losing by one run, which completely sucked. So I hate losing. I hate losing to a team that I know we should have beat. If they were better than us, I would be okay with it. But we beat ourselves, and that truly pisses me off. Last year, the team, I went to the Gay Softball World Series, and I got picked up by a team. My team qualified, but we didn't have enough people who wanted to go. You literally have to take a week off of work to go play softball. So people are like, yeah, I can't do that. I can't afford it. It's like, I get it. So I got picked up by another team, and we did okay. There was one particular person on the team I was not happy with, and apparently it got around because the commissioner this year came to me and goes, yeah, that person won't be on the team this year, so you don't have to worry. I'm like, oh, you heard about that? Like, yeah, everyone heard about that. I was like, oh shit, I didn't realize I was that loud or vocal about it. But I'm like, if you're going to be the key player on the team, if you're gonna be the fucking shortstop, you're the key player on the infield, you should be able to fucking catch a ball. If you can't bend over to catch a ball, go sit your ass down. I was so pissed. So pissed. In one of the fields we played on, the fence was a wooden fence, a wooden back. So everything I said in the outfield echoed and got into the infield. I was like, oh, I didn't realize I was that loud. But I hate losing. Very passionate about my sports. I played soccer growing up. I was on my swimming and dive team in high school, which my biology teacher wanted me to wrestle, and I was like, yeah, I can't do that, because I would have been called out. I'm like, yeah, gay guy. I'd have been hard all fucking day. I'm like,
yeah, but at that fucking age, the fucking wind blows, you get hard.
Yeah, but like some of the guys on the wrestling team were actually very attractive. and I was still coming into my own sexuality, and I'm like, yeah, this is not gonna work. Yeah, the cold water was better for me.
Oh, shit.
The funny thing, I don't like watching sports though. I'll watch highlights, but I'd rather play than watch. Watching, it's boring. I can't get out there and play. I want to be on the field.
Okay. One thing, though, that's really interesting is I'm surprised you don't do a solo sport, given your personality and hatred of losing. Like, why don't you do bodybuilding or physique or fucking boxing or MMA much. Or tennis? Or, do you see what I mean? Then it's all on you.
Do you see this face? Do you see this face? I can't get hit in the face.
What the motherfucker? Scars look good on anybody. Come on.
No. I have scars on my knees. I have scars on my knees from sliding.
And I bet you they look good.
Well, there's one.
Yeah, that doesn't look bad, dude. Seriously? Get out of your head, dude. Yeah, come on.
Nah, I don't. I like a good team sport.
Okay.
I like a good now. Track and field. I did track and field. That was fun. I've never done any real other than, you know, the 100-yard dash and 200-yard dash. That's really the only solo sports that I do. I like playing on a team. I mean, yeah, I do hate losing, but I still like playing on a team. Okay. I like being part of a team. If the team sucks, I'll leave. I'm like, you know what? I can't do this anymore. Y'all ain't good enough. I will flat out tell them. I was like, y'all suck. And then walk away. Okay. And like, that's the truth.
And you're also quite the nerd too, right?
Depends on what topic.
Comics.
Oh, you can't see, you can barely see my wall. But yes, I love comic books.
Okay.
And see my Mustang. But yes, I have this whole curio set behind me has comic books in it and my little statues and everything else.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Kind of like how you have all your football stuff in the background. I do that with comics.
All right. So favorite comic book characters.
My favorite comic book character is Storm. Storm, Black Panther, and Captain America.
Really?
Yes.
What the fuck? Okay, Black Panther I get, but Storm? This is fucking lame-ass powers, dude.
Storm is an Omega. She is like the most powerful mutant on the planet. Well, in the comic book world, I almost got offended. She controls literally the weather. She held Thor's hammer, so she was a goddess for a moment. She married Black Panther, so she was a queen of Wakanda. Depending on what universe you're reading the comic books in, she also has a son who is extremely powerful. Storm's a badass. I would put Storm up against anybody. Say somebody.
Hulk.
Say it. She'll kill
Hulk.
Oh,
shit. You can't kill Hulk.
She would beat the shit out of that man. She'd make him. She'd make him change back into him. She controls the weather. If I want it rain, I could, like that. I could strike his ass with lightning, blow him out with a tornado. I blow him away with a tornado. She would win, hands down. It would be a good day. There would be a good battle, though. I'll give you that. It would be a good fight, but yeah, she can create an earthquake. She controls. Well, not an earthquake. She controls the weather. I love her. She is an Omega. If you look, I swear, Google your top mutants. She will be one of them.
I don't know. I always personally preferred Hulk, Magneto, and
the Magneto has some power.
Yeah, Magneto's a badass.
Yes.
I'm trying to pick a third. Punisher's always been a big favorite of mine, but he doesn't have any superhuman powers.
True, but he's always is he a superhero or a vigilante?
Well, he's an anti-hero.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I see that. Did you watch the series on Netflix?
My favorite television show of all time.
I like the actor they had him play him. Bernthal? That was a very smart choice.
Dude, he was born to play that role.
Yeah. When he left Walking Dead, when he died in that, I was like, no, I liked him. And then I was like, oh, he's going to be a Punisher. Okay, never mind. He needed to leave.
Do you hear Disney's actually picking up the, or going to continue on with the Punisher?
Will it be as good? Because it's Disney. I know. Netflix, you can do it. Netflix, you can get away with some cursing and stuff. Disney is like,
I'm skeptical, but I'm hopeful. Because the Punisher is pretty dark and graphic, and but yes. we'll see.
We'll see. What did you think of Daredevil?
Oh God, don't! He's a fucking pussy.
Not the Ben Affleck one.
Are you talking about the show, the Netflix one?
Yeah,
he's a fucking pussy. I fucking hate him. God. Damn it! As the Punisher said, you hit them and they get back up. I hit them and they stay down.
That is true. Now, I will say I like the Netflix series better than the Ben Affleck movie.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
I did not like... Oh my God, what was the last one that they did? With the... He had the S on his chest with the dragon, with the wings... I cannot think of the name of it. Well, I didn't care too much. I thought he was too whiny. Yeah. I was like, I don't like whiny superheroes.
No, I don't either. Like, that's why I never liked Spider-Man. It's just like, dude, stop being a bitch. Like, man the fuck up.
Yes. How the fuck do we get into superhero topics? But I'm loving it.
Like, okay, here. I can illustrate perfectly. Did you watch Veronica Mars on Netflix?
No. Veronica Mars?
It's another one of the superhero things. But basically, the whole show is just all these innocent people dying because she's like Daredevil and she can't make the hard choice. And I'm just sitting there screaming at the TV. I'm like, how many more fucking innocent people have to die because you can't make the hard choice? Don't watch it. You'll scream at the television.
Okay.
So bad. Sorry, what were you going to say? That was my tangent.
Okay, who is your favorite villains?
Probably, I mean, you kind of consider Magneto a villain, even though, you know, I argue it's justified. And I can definitely see his point of view. I don't know, Apocalypse or Strife.
Yes, okay.
But no, I was more of a hero person.
Yeah, me too. I liked Juggernaut because he was just basically smashing everything. And he was like, I have one brain cell and smash.
That's why I wore the dome, dude, to protect one brain cell.
I'm on the fence, and I don't know, people may watch this and be like, she was not a villain. Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, no, I'll give you that. White Queen I like, too.
Yes, I did like her, too. And Mystique.
Yes, I always love Mystique.
I loved her because that was one of the powers I wish I could shapeshift. I was like, God, if I can just.
That would be a badass superpower.
The shapeshift and fly.
Yeah. No, that would be a good one. Anything else you enjoy in your free time?
I enjoy going to the movies. I enjoy listening to music, shopping. Traveling, and then sometimes I just enjoy being alone. Just sitting on the couch, watching TV, and just not thinking about anything. Just turning my brain off. I have HGTV or the Food Network on, and just let the TV just run. And it's just because if I'm not playing sports, if I'm not working, I'm in my mind thinking of another script to write. Like I have all these different ideas that I jot down in my journal that, okay, let's write this. Okay, let's write that. Let's come up with this idea. And trying to come up with all the different concepts and the characters and pitching them to different studios to potentially get bought or turned into a scene. Or I've been working on a full-length movie, and I pitched it to one studio that felt like, oh, we like it, but we only like two of the four scenes that you wrote. But it's like, it completely takes away from the concept of the whole movie. So it's like, if you want the individual scene, if you want an individual scene, I can give you a scene, but I'm trying to write a full-length movie that incorporates everyone. So there's straight sex, there's gay sex, there's bisex, I don't have trans in there yet, but there's, you know, everyone can watch this movie and be like, oh, I like what you're doing here, type of movie. I love shopping for shoes. I love shoes. Shoes to me are like women and purses. Like I don't have enough. And it's like, there's sometimes I'm like, I have a pair of shoes I bought when I graduated high school. That was the year is this 23? Yeah, 23 years ago. And they still fit. They still look brand new. I wear them maybe once every 3 or 4 years because the right outfit will come along, but I can't get rid of them. Why would I get rid of them? They're so perfect. But it's just for me, but those shoes hold sentimental value to me because when I graduated high school, those were the very first expensive pair of shoes that I bought. I paid over $200-some for these shoes and they still look brand new 20-some years later. But to me, it's like, okay, I'm making something in my life. Like the pendant that I have on. Now, when my ex and I broke up, I bought a house. I didn't think I was ever going to be able to buy a house on my own. And then I was in the Bahamas and I saw this. And this was saying, okay, this right here let me know that I can do it. I can make it on my own. I don't need someone else to support me. I can do it by myself. So those are just little things that I love shopping. I love spending money. I don't have any, but I love spending.
You'll grow out of that.
Oh, very quickly. I'm married now. I can't do that.
Yeah. No, I just, I'm sorry. Go back. Like, can you, all right, the sentimental value, I get that. Like, I'm extraordinarily sentimental with a bunch of items that I own. I mean, they're irreplaceable. But explain the whole shoe thing to me. And for those of you watching, like, I know there's a whole stereotype of, like, black guys in shoes. I can tell you it's not true. I have tons of white friends and tons of Hispanic friends and Asian friends who are like, shoes are their thing. So shoes transcend race. So explain the shoe thing, though, because...
They're accessories. They're like, okay, so when you see a woman get, and I'm not just saying a woman, because, you know, some people can get very offended, but I'm just going to say, you see a cis woman dress up, she has a nice bag on, she has very good earrings or some type of accessory to assess her outfit, to help accentuate her outfit. I think that with shoes. I think with the right pair of shoes will completely change an outfit. I can look really good, but then if I have some shoes on that look a little busted, I'm like, completely ruins the entire look. You know, you get dressed and you put these nice black boots on and you're like, okay, this is the outfit that I want to walk out in. Or should I put something completely, can I wear the same outfit with sneakers and give me a different vibe? So I do that with my shoes, and I got to make sure they're comfortable. I got to make sure that they're clean. When I go out, I look at people's feet. Well, their shoes. I don't know why I do it. I got caught doing this years ago at work. This was like, I was still in high school, and my boss is like, why do you always stare at people's feet? I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, every time somebody walks by, you always look down at their shoes. And I was like, well, in some cases, you can tell, you can almost build a story based off of a person's shoes. Like, if their shoes are really worn out or dirty, you're like, okay, this must be, I'm not going to say it's the only pair of shoes this person has, but this must be their favorite pair of shoes. Again, this goes back to my storytelling. I tell these stories in my head. I'm like, if I see somebody walking around and they have like a hint of green in their white shoes, I'm like, oh, they probably cut grass in those shoes. If I see somebody with, the shoes are spotless, I'm like, oh, this person really takes care of their shoes. If they take care of their shoes, to me, that's a clean person. They must really take care of, again, in my head, they must really take care, depending on what the shoes are, but they, if they're that detailed about their shoes, what else are they detailed about? So they may have a really clean house. Their car may be spotless. I could be completely wrong, but in my head, that's what I'm thinking. If you're not willing to take care of your shoes, you may not wash properly. So if you're a good-looking man, I'm like, oh, that may be somebody I might potentially want to sleep with. Then I look down at your shoes, and your shoes are all busted. I'm like, never mind. But again, these are stories that I tell myself. But think about it. But truly think about it. If someone is taking that much time to care about what they put on their feet, keep them clean, what does that tell you about that? That potentially could tell you about that person, that they're a clean person, that they wash on a regular. They, what's the word I'm looking at?
They take pride. I almost said wash. Everything they do.
Yes, that is exactly what I was looking for. So you, I want to be around somebody like that. I don't consistently want to be around somebody who doesn't do that. I may be judging. I'm not judging, but it's just from my perspective and my understanding, this is what I have seen. And so far I've been right.
Okay. Fascinating. I appreciate, but I do have a question though. Do you need glasses?
Mm-hmm. For?
Because I guarantee you, when someone sees you in public, they ain't looking at your fucking shoes. Just.
Oh, that's true. No. No. But I don't know why. I just do. I always look at people's feet. It's a bad habit.
No, I mean, it's one thing that makes you. It's not bad at all. If I saw you in public, I'm just saying the last thing in the fucking world I notice is your shoes.
That's you're not the first person to say that to me. It's just, I think that is literally the last thing I look at. I go from head to toe and then I scan back up and it's like, okay, but I've not really run into how do I say this? Most of the people that I've run into that I'm looking at their shoes, I'm usually at work or at the gym. Because nowadays on set, it's just bare feet.
Okay, so I have a question then. What does it say about me if you saw me in the gym? I wear flip-flops, weather permitting, even at the gym. What does that say?
You wear flip-flops at the gym?
I fucking hate wearing shoes.
What if you drop something on your foot?
It's going to get busted even with shoes, so.
As I said it, I already knew what you were going to say, but it's just, okay. I don't know what I would look at your feet and be like, okay, are they manicured? Not like you went to a salon and did them. Do you?
Well, but yeah, I did, they're not like overgrown.
Yeah, you don't have like talent.
I regularly have women compliment me on my feet, so apparently there must be something nice.
That's a good thing. I would still question why you're wearing flip-flops in the gym, but, you know, to each their own. It's like, that is not proper workout attire, but I get it. If you hate wearing shoes, I completely understand. The
main reason is I overheat super easily.
I was going to ask that question, because Dylan gets hot easy, too. And he hates wearing clothes. Like, sometimes we'll come home from dinner. I'll come upstairs to take my shoes off and change clothes. He's downstairs butt ass naked. I'm like, I was upstairs for 2 seconds. Like, I hate clothes. I'm like, makes
Yeah,
sense.
no,
That's
it's
fine.
66 degrees in here right now and I'm fucking sweating. Like,
See, I would be freezing. Everybody, why isn't the heat on?
oh, trust me, everyone who comes over to my house has a fucking blanket on in the basement. Like, my bedroom stays at like 54.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen. I sleep in the summer with I normally sleep naked, but I have socks on. I will have a sheet and the comforter on and wrapped up in it.
Yeah. We'd wake up in the morning and I'd be dead from heat exhaustion.
Probably. I don't like my I can't sleep if my feet get cold.
I get that.
And some people are like, you sleep with socks on? That's so weird. I've tried not sleeping with socks on, and I toss and turn all night. All night. And it
Oh,
sucks.
if you get cold, you get cold. I don't see a problem with that at all.
Yeah.
But
Oh, shit.
last question I have is for those people watching who are like, oh my God, Jake's so sexy, so dreamy, I love him. Where can they find all your content? Like Twitter, Instagram, Just for Fans, OnlyFans, all that shit.
You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and OnlyFans at Jake underscore Waters XX. I kept them all the same, so it makes it easy to
And
find.
it's the same for the fan sites as well.
Yeah, I only have OnlyFans. I haven't done a Just for Fans or For My Fans.
Why?
Because I've been too lazy to do it. Every time I get online to do it, I get caught up in the Twitter comments and like other people's posts, and I'm like, oh, hey, how are you doing? Then like an hour later, I'm like, you know, I gotta close my laptop. I gotta go do something productive.
You are literally flushing money down the toilet.
I know. I'll
Okay.
do it.
All right.
Okay, here's my promise.
You love
Go
shopping.
ahead.
Just for fans equals money. Money equals the ability to go shopping. Just
I
saying.
know. I know I need to do it, and I keep telling myself that I'm going to do it. I just don't. If I will say, what's today? Monday?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. By Saturday, I will send you my Just for Fans site.
Oh shit.
I will set it up. I set it here. Today is Monday, May 8th. So by Saturday, whatever date that is, I will have it set up.
Okay.
And I will send you the
All
link.
right, I'm gonna hold you to that.
Okay, hold on. I gotta make a note now. I gotta write it down. Because if I don't write it down, this shit won't happen.
Yeah, no, seriously though, you God, no, that's like the for my fans, loyal fans, all that stuff. Don't worry about that. Just for fans, though, that's a huge, huge revenue stream. Like, you can literally take what you're making on OnlyFans and double it. Well, like, however much you're making from OnlyFans, you'll make at least that on Just for Fans.
See, and I don't make a lot, and I think there's a big stereotype that a lot of people think it's because we have these sites for the fans to go to that people think that we're swimming in money. Like, oh my God, you must make so much money, because I had the studio. I'm rolling my eyes when I say this. Offer me an exclusive. And I'm like, oh, I felt so honored at first. And then like, okay, you'll get X amount of dollars per scene. You'll get $1,000 per scene, and it'll be six scenes. I'm like, okay, that's fine. But what about the rest of the year? It's like, oh, well, you can just use your money from OnlyFans to survive? I'm like, bitch, this is my only job. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm like, well, can I go work with other studios? They're like, well, no, if you're an exclusive, you're exclusive to us. I'm like, but you're only giving me six scenes for the entire year. That's only $6,000. The fuck am I supposed to do with the rest? And they're like, so a lot of people think that because adult stars have an OnlyFans or Just for Fans, that everyone is swimming in money. And it's not true. Everyone, depending on how they manage it and how many different accounts that they have, they could be making some money. I've heard people who make hundreds and thousands of dollars a year. I've heard people who make $5 to $6 a month, just depending on what content they're putting out and how they're creating their content. And most of my content in the very beginning was all solo stuff. It was all, solo scenes by myself or just photos, because living in Kansas, there weren't many people flying to Kansas to shoot content. Let's see, what else? I know there are a lot of women who make a killing on some of these sites. And I'm just like, how? And then I think, oh, wait, I got to remember who's buying. It's mostly guys who are buying your content, I'm not hating on anyone. Everyone runs their sites different, but it's like, damn, what can I do to up my subscriptions and people to pay? And it's like, well, you need to do more content with people. I'm like, okay, I can do that. But I have standards. I'm not just going to shoot with just anybody. I'm not going, if you've not tested, and for those who don't know, for those of us who do studio work, we do a full panel test. We do the HIV, gonorrhea, chlamydia, everything under the sun to make sure that we're not transferring something to somebody else. If you can't show me a test that was taken within the last 14 days, for content, I would really prefer something smaller. But if you can't show me a test, then I'm not going to film with you. And a lot of people who come to Vegas who hit me up on Instagram or Twitter, like, oh, I would love to film with you. Great. Have you been tested? No. Okay, no problem. When you get to town, go to talent testing and get tested. Oh, no, I'm fine. I tested last month.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to work for me, because if you give me something, hopefully I can take a pill or take a shot and get rid of it. But I'm out of work for at least 2 weeks. Are you going to pay my bills for the 2 weeks? No, you're not. So, and that is a conversation we both had. So that is an agreement that we said we will not shoot with anyone, studio or for content, if the test is not provided. This, for one, we can keep ourselves healthy and to make sure that we're not passing on anything to anyone else or someone doesn't give us something. But yes, I do need to up my fan stuff. I have started to shoot more content with other people, which is starting to pay off. And I'm like, okay, I like this. I don't necessarily want to be a revolving door and have someone new every other day, because for me, that's not attractive. For me, that's not sexy. Not hating on anyone who does that. That's you. You live your best life. But just for me and my comfort and my to stay zen with myself and with my husband, I don't need that. I can do a couple of scenes a month and be good with that and have it sell. But I do need to, I agree with you. I do need to expand my portfolio and have more than just the OnlyFans. So I will have that by Saturday. Saturday, I will get that link over to you. And if I don't, call me out on it. I am not ashamed to say, yeah, fucked up.
No, but honestly, though, I understand what you mean about a revolving door, though. And I can say, like, if you shoot with someone, you have good chemistry, there's nothing wrong shooting with them. Like, Jessie Dubai, for example, I've got, like, 16 videos with her. Like, so, I mean, my subscribers, as long as I have good chemistry with someone, I'll keep shooting with them. Frankly, I'd rather shoot with someone that I have an established rapport with.
And that is the best. I mean, you can try different things. You feel comfortable with that person. You can do different positions. You can indoor, outdoor, in the car, just a blowjob or eating out or whatever the case may be. It's when you have that, you have it. There are a couple of people in town that I have filmed with on the studio side and on the content side, and we have great chemistry. We talk. We invited them to the wedding. And, there are those. But when It is nice to have a small variety of people. Not saying that you have to have a huge variety, but it's nice to switch it up every once in a
Yeah,
while.
no, for sure. So, anything else at all you want to plug?
Follow me. No, God, I don't have anything. I don't have anything coming out. I do have a feature coming out that I was a star in for Lust Studios. It's not been released yet. It should be coming out hopefully this summer. I know the last we did some final voiceover stuff a couple of weeks ago in California, but that should be coming out shortly. I'm very proud of this. I had to really get outside of my comfort zone to shoot this because I'm not a very angry or argumentative person until I get pissed. But there was a particular scene that I had to cuss out both of my my co-stars, which was Christian Wilde and April. Oh God, I forgot her name. She just changed her name to Mars, but it was April. And I had to cuss them both out, and I had to get loud. The director's like, "I need you to be angry. I need you to be loud." And I'm laughing the entire time. She's sitting there talking to me, and she's like, she said, "Action." And I just flipped, and I was so proud of myself for doing that. So I can't wait for that to come out. It's called, I forget, but I honestly forgot the name of the title. But it should be coming out this summer from Lust Studios. I can't wait for that to come out. And then hopefully some of the stuff that I'm writing gets picked up, and people, the studios will start getting that. So I'm trying to diversify my portfolio on the adult side by not just being in front of the camera, but being behind the camera also.
That's awesome. Seriously, I think, and like, I just want to thank you for taking the time to do this. And one thing I really enjoyed about this interview was you really embodied why I started this series. Because why I started this series was just like I got on the dating apps last year, and it's like, I'm very upfront about what I do for a living. And when people hear porn star, they assume like drug addict, alcoholic, train wreck, you got to be like, all kinds of negative shit, right? So that's really why I started this series, was to show that like all the shit you think about when you hear porn star is not true the majority of the time. And I just feel like you really, really embodied exactly what I'm trying to show with this. So for that, I thank you.
Well, thank you. I am glad that you do stuff like this to show everyday people that those stereotypes, do they exist? Yes, unfortunately they do, but it's not the norm.
Exactly.
It is not the norm. It is very much the minority, and it's pretty much phasing out because there are too many people who are getting injured or hurt and studios getting sued because of negligence. And it's not the way. And to be honest, I don't even think it was as bad as I wasn't around in the 70s, but I don't think it was that bad. It was just,
Those are the ones you heard about.
yes, it's always the ones you hear about that get hurt. Like I did a shoot a couple of weeks ago. It was a great shoot, but on that same day in a different studio, someone got injured, and that's all we heard about. And I was like, damn, that was such a great shoot. And it was working with someone who was their directorial debut, and it got overshadowed because of somebody getting hurt because somebody wasn't paying attention. It was very negligent. And I'm like, it's a double this. I love this industry. I really do love the industry. I love the progress it is making for change. It needs a little, it needs more fine tuning for to protect the models. I love that we have the OnlyFans and Just for Fans and all that. Do we can control what is being put out there and not giving the studios the power that they once had? Do I still think studios are relevant? Absolutely. Are they adapting? Most of them are. Most of them are adapting to this new age, and they're truly showing what adult entertainment is. And I'm still new. I'm still learning a lot. I love it. Tomorrow, I have a scene tomorrow and a scene Wednesday, and come Thursday, I may say, I hate this fucking shit. I quit. And then Friday, I love it all over again. But that's with any job. But I love what you do. I've watched a couple of your series before. Your series. I've watched a couple of these episodes before. And it gives everyone a nice opportunity to really get to know the person behind the persona that they're putting on. Hey, moms. Go get daddy.
You gonna introduce?
No, not the, go. And can you see her? Oh, her butt. Shira, come here. Come here. Look. There she is. Aww. Look, say hi. Say hi.
She's so adorable.
Yes, I know.
Thank you. I know. Daddy said he was going to take you out 2 hours ago, and he still hasn't. I'm sorry. Not me, the other one.
All right.
I can hear him in the kitchen.
Well, I will let you go take your baby outside. And seriously, though, thank you so much for taking the time to do this and for telling your story and just and frankly for discussing some topics that everyone else seems to kind of shy away from. And for those of you watching, mm-hmm. thank you so much for sticking around with us this long. Because
yes, thank you. We went. God, I'm looking at the clock. It doesn't feel like 2 hours.
No, it really doesn't.
But we did talk about a lot of things, and I do appreciate you bringing up these topics and giving me the opportunity to express how I feel.
Yeah, no, of course. I just, no. And if the opportunity presents itself, I would love to shoot with you and Dylan if I can get over my hatred of travel.
Well, I know years ago you and I were talking. This is when I lived in Kansas City. Like, yeah, if you ever make it to Denver, come on out. And then I drove right past Denver and came to Nevada twice.
Damn. Maybe someday, since you love to travel so much, God knows why.
We were actually talking about that because Dylan and I were talking after you guys got done filming. He's like, he lives in, I go, yeah, he lives in Denver. He's like, how do you know that? I go, we've talked before. He's like, God, you're a hoe. And you still love me.
Hey guys, just want to say thank you for watching this video. And if you did really enjoy it, I just want to mention there are two ways that you can help to support this channel. On the right side, there are three little dots. If you click those, there is a super thanks button. And on the left-hand side, there is a join button where you can join this channel. There are three different tiers of memberships. The top tier does actually allow one-on-one messaging with me via Discord. And I personally answer that. It is not a service. That's just, you know, both of those are ways that you can help support me as a content creator in this channel. I mention this because YouTube is by far the thing that I enjoy doing the most. It's the thing I'm most passionate about. And unfortunately, a lot of the sexual videos, the porn star confessions, the Dom sub, all that stuff, it is not monetized due to the nature of the videos. But either way, thank you so much for taking the time to watch this. I hope you guys all have an absolutely amazing week. I love you all.